And so James chapter 4, things we don't know. And so it'll be a pretty simple one tonight. And James chapter 4, and we will go verse 13 through verse 17 to start off with. Things we don't know, we don't know what's next. We don't know what's next. And now most people think they know what's next, but they might not have lived very long if they think that. They're not very observant if they think that. James chapter 4 and verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. All right, let's pray. And our Lord, as always, we need you. We love you. You're a good God. You've already done so many things for us today, Father, known and unknown, the provision of food and shelter and air and life and our heart beating, Father, many things, keeping us saved and loving us unconditionally, forgiving us, and yet many things, protection we might not have seen, keeping a temptation that we couldn't handle away from us, angels watching over us. Lord, you're so good to us, Father. And Lord, we don't presume to deserve for you to speak to us and bless us and dwell among us and condescend them in a low estate, but we ask you to do it again tonight. Speak to our hearts and give us your thinking. Lord, and the longer I live and pastor, I realize that sometimes it's not one sermon and a decision in the sermon, but a continual transformation of our thinking that has more of an impact as we hear Bible preaching. And I pray tonight that our thinking will be changed and it'll be done right and be fixed and thinking like you want us to think. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a few things. You don't know the future. Now, we can make plans. We can do our best. We can have a pretty good layout. I'm not against that at all. A prudent man foreseeth evil afar off and hides himself. And I don't think foresight is sinful. But there is an arrogance in foresight that this passage talks about that many people have. And it says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even as a vapor. And so we see that David prepared abundantly before his death, and we see a good man leaving an inheritance to his children's children. And there's some things in the Bible where people plan and think, and there's nothing wrong with thinking ahead, not at all. And as a matter of fact, I think sowing and reaping is thinking ahead. I think that's part of thinking ahead. However, there is also a presumption in most people's thinking that they're going to be allowed the time and the situation that's going to put them where their plans are going to come true. An arrogance in the security that they don't have in life. It says, don't say you're going to do this in such a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you don't know if you're going to live that long. What is your life? It is even as a vapor. It says, you ought to say, if the Lord will. Amen. If the Lord will, we'll go and do this. This is our plan. He's not saying don't say that, but when he says, hey, if the Lord will. This is our plan, but we know it's all at the mercy and in the hand of God. The best laid plans of mice and men, you know, are all subject to failure and change and unforeseen circumstances and many things in life. And just give you a few thoughts. We just don't know what's next. Number one, we don't know how much time we have. Whereas you know not what shall be in the morrow, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor, a little steam, which appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Ever just watch steam? It comes out of the pot all thick and goes up, and where to go? That's what happens to life. Life, it's going along, and all of a sudden you go, where'd life go? Why, I'm not this old, am I? Yes, you are. If you're asking, am I really this old? You probably are. And no surgery is going to change it. Nothing else is going to change it. You can exercise and do good things. Take care of yourself. Fine. You're still going to be that old. And you know, it's a vapor. And the thing about it is, you don't know when that vapor is going to disappear. It might be 70, and praise God, that's the standard allotment of time for mankind, is 70 years. And there's ways to change how long you live in the earth. There's things that says the Bible adds to your days. There's things the Bible says takes away from your days. For example, how you treat your parents and other things. And that determines, you know, how long you live and such. But God's got a time for you, and you might stretch it out a little bit because of wise living and cut it short because of foolish living. We understand that. But you don't know how long it is. You might be in good health, and you might step on a bar of soap in the shower. You might, a drunk driver might cross the road, God forbid. And children die, too. And teenagers die, and 20-year-olds die. Usually mortality sets in your late 40s, is usually when you start catching on that you're mortal, hopefully by then. But sometimes younger. Sometimes a close friend dies and it's bad or whatever, but it does you good. You realize, man, they're gone. And it kind of makes you think. But life can be very short. Do not presume upon God. That's one scary thing. I think some people who disobey God and assume they're going to get back right with God, I tell you, that very rarely works. One, you're presuming God's going to give you time. That's a presumption. It's like me saying to you, you know, when you give me $50, I'm going to go out and eat a nice meal. That's what it's doing. It's making a demand on you that I'm presuming you're going to give me something that you have no obligation to give me. God has no obligation to give you any time. It's by the Lord's mercies. We're not consumed. And so... so God is, first of all, presuming that he's going to give you time. But secondly, if God isn't speaking and he's not drawing you, you'll be surprised where you won't be able to go back to God. Your time of repentance has passed. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Comes a time and God says, you know, I'm done. I'm tired of speaking to you and you're dull of hearing. Did it to Israel. Says, you're not going in the promised land. And he's done that several times in the Bible. We'll talk about that on Sunday night, probably. And so... You do not know how much time you have. I kind of think in terms of life and in general. I kind of think in terms of 70 years for me. I have good health, but I've also lived pretty hard. Not with sinful vices, but with just a schedule and time and busyness and you know, getting just doing a lot of things, you know, and things. And so I just presume I'm just going to live an average life. I have no idea genetically how long I'm going to live. I don't know how long my dad, I think is dead, but, he was a heavy drinker. So that's not anything, an indication. It's very unpredictable, but I just kind of think in those terms, but I don't plan on living that long. In other words, kind of just my thought of raising kids and my wife and what I'll be doing and how long should my life insurance be for and things like that. I think 70 years. And that's fine. However, I don't presume I have tomorrow. I don't presume I have tomorrow. And today's got to be I got to be really wise today. Of course, Matthew 6, take no thought of the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought of itself. Sufficient of the day is the evil thereof. I mean, you know, the woman of Proverbs, yes, she bought things to sell them again, and that's investing, and you're hoping for that you'll still be here, but Jesus might come back tonight. Amen. So more importantly than your future planning, your 401k and other planning, more important than that is just planning, am I ready to meet God today? That's the most important thing. You do not know how much time you have. Do not be so arrogant to assume that you're going to have time to get back to God. Or to start winning souls, or to begin doing ministry work. And someday you're going to start about that. You're presuming upon God. And you do not know that you're going to live till that time when you can do that. And it's very dangerous to do that. So we don't know how much time we have. That we ought to do the right thing. We ought to not let the sun go down upon our wrath. And we ought to make sure right today, because tomorrow is no guarantee. Tomorrow's no guarantee. Secondly, what don't we're talking about what's next. We don't know what's next. We don't know how much time we have. Secondly, we do not know where we're going to be. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. We don't know where we're going to be. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out of a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so we see here, Abraham, he went not knowing where he's going. He was told to leave the Ur of the Chaldees, so he left. And he ended up going a ways away and stopping. Then God said, not far enough. And then he went down and he went into the land of Canaan. And he dwelt there not knowing where he was going. He didn't know where he was going. And he said he was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. He was looking for something that wasn't actually there. God was just giving him the country where his descendants were going to be in. However, Abraham thought he was looking for a city that all of a sudden he'd walk up and say, hey, there's a sparkling city where God dwells. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what was happening next. He was just wandering, looking up and saying, okay, where am I going now? You say, well, I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going to live. I know where I'm going to stay. Don't presume upon that. You don't know where life can take you very quickly. You don't know where God might have you move. You don't know where God has a plan for you. You don't know when God's going to say it's time to go. You don't know when life's going to change you. You say, no, I like to live in the Seattle area the rest of my life. Do you know Seattle can be completely different in 20 years? I always laugh. I used to live, you said that doesn't happen. It'll always be a nice city. I used to live in Hammond, Indiana. Hammond, Indiana, where I lived, was 5 minutes from Gary, Indiana. Gary, Indiana, at that time, was a murder capital of America. Gary, Indiana, well, the odds were, one of every 1,000 people was murdered in the city every year. That's not good odds. If you want to know what kind of statistic that is, Chicago has 2.5 million, and they're talking about the terrible murder rate there, and they had 800 murdered last year. That's nowhere near 1 in 1,000. In order for Chicago to be equal with Gary at that time, Chicago would have to have, let's see, if it's 2.5 million, they'd have to have, just save me, one of every 1,000 being killed. Is that 2,500? Or is that 25,000? When you figure it out, just tell me. And it's a lot of people. It was so bad. But you know, I went to the library one time and there was a book. And this book was called Gary, Indiana, The City of the 20th Century. Gary, if you went in Gary, it looked like, and you don't know what this is, hopefully, but a Mad Max movie. They had a bunch of empty factories that were all broken down and dilapidated, every window broken down. The houses were all windows shattered and boarded up. The businesses were slums and broken down. Everybody you saw was either begging or drunk or a prostitute. It was a disaster. But if you were in Gary, Indiana in 1960, you were in Bellevue. How many? Do you forget murder? How many murders that'd be? Okay. And Gary, Indiana, when I was there, it was different. There used to be a famous movie of this song in it, Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana. And that was a long time before I was there, I'll tell you. I worked there at Gary at night. Gary, Indiana, so I'll tell you how bad Gary, Indiana was. I was cleaning an exhaust vent in Gary at night. I used to work in restaurants, cleaning the exhaust vents. And the owner walks by, and he's leaving for the night. And he says, you go out this back door, close both doors, and lock up. And he walks by, and he says, here's a gun. And he says, if anybody walks out that back door and knocks on it, he says, shoot him, because they're there to kill you. All right? And then make sure you lock the back doors. And he walked out the door. That's what he did. I picked up the gun. It was, sure enough, it was loaded. And he was serious of heart attacks. He says, anyone walks up, knocks on the back door, just shoot him. They're there to kill you. And so that's what he told me. And that's what he, you know, and I did it. And no, I didn't. And, but that was Bellevue. That was, but this thing called steel mills. that used to be what Gary, Indiana was, all closed down. Go to Detroit right now in the daytime with security. Because Detroit was a thriving city. And you understand, a whole bunch of people moved, when the steel mills and the auto industry had problems, they all moved down to Texas. And then they all went down to Texas, and the Texas economy went down, they all went back up north. And now they've all gone back to Texas again. Why? Because economies change. You say, well, we're high tech. That'll never change. They might move all to China. We always think that the technology we're in now will never change or never go away. As we always think. Listen, if trade changes a whole bunch, or if the military moves Fort Lewis and McChord, oh, they don't move bases. Okay. You don't know anything. Listen, things change. You might move. Tragedy might happen. You might have to go live with a relative and help them out. You might have some unforeseen thing that we'd never think of happen where you got to get out of town. The weather might change drastically. Change a jet stream and we're in Maine. You understand that? We're farther north than Maine. All you do is change a jet stream. And everybody's pipes start breaking. And there's so many things. I know a good man and good lady. They were working as assistant pastor, and they went to a church and everything. They were there, and just some people in the church, just who had some authority and a real problem, started causing this couple and trying to split this couple up, and it became weird and almost cultish and bad, and they didn't know what to do, and they thought, this is really weird and scary, and they were in North Carolina, I believe. And they thought, this is really bad. Something's wrong here. They called Brother Hiles. They went to Bible college there. They said, what do we do? And he says, you have to get out of there. Let me work on this. He hung up the phone. He called Brother Mutchler. He said, Brother Mutchler, he told me you're looking for an assistant pastor. He says, I got the guy for you. He says, good. He says, I want you to bring him out and check him out and see if you like him. He says, good. He says, I want you to do it today. Because he knew the situation had to be dealt with right then. And he booked a flight from North Carolina, I think it was, to Portland that day for a couple. And they only went back to load their stuff. They didn't deal with anybody. It was a situation they had to move instantly. You just don't know. You could have a weird stalker start following you. A lot of things, you don't know where you're going to be. Now, I assume I'm going to be in Seattle the rest of my life. I assume that I'll be in the area I'm in. I hope to live in my house the rest of my life, and that's fine. And I'm a stable and long-term person. It's my personality, and I like the area, and I'm a Northwest guy, da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't have any guarantee of that. I don't know if God might up tomorrow and say, hey, you're off to the mission field. And by the way, if he does, I'm off to the mission field. So do not presume upon where you're going to be. Moses or Abraham was just there in the only world he knew, where all of civilization was that he knew, and God said, up and leave your family. Okay. And that's what happened. The Ostranders were living comfortably and doing fine and living down in Spanaway, and all of a sudden their son goes in an activity, he drowns, and he's taken to hospital in Portland with severe brain damage. Guess where they stayed for the next 3 months? Portland. And you don't know. You don't always know where you're going to end up. Yes, we have plans. But say if the Lord will and be willing to follow God's plans and God's changes. Do not be in a rut where you say, I'm going to do things this way and it's going to stay this way and I'm going to be like this. You don't know what's coming next. We don't know what's coming next. We don't know if terrorism, an act might happen. We don't know if the government's going to have major problems. We don't know anything. I remember I was in Chicago, and I was driving. There's all the buses parked at Willow Court. It was nighttime. I was walking up to Willow Court, and the Bulls are playing in a championship game. They'd never won a championship game, and Kerr shoots a three-pointer. Whew, swish, and everybody goes, yeah! And I thought, oh, the Bulls must have won. I didn't realize they were going to light the city on fire that night. while I was driving a bus on the south side of Chicago with teenagers in my bus. Broken windows in my bus. It was the only time in my life I decided I was going to kill somebody. And I had a mob of people block my bus and start attacking my bus. And then they opened the back door. It was me and one worker and two teenage girls in the bus. And I told the guy in front of me, move or I'm going to run you over. And I ran into him. I floored it, ran into him, knocked him back. His eyes got about this big, and he got out of the way. And I drove off happily. And bus was broken to bits. Cars were on fire, turned over like a war zone. I had no idea that was happening that night. You know what? You don't know. We don't know what could happen tonight. We don't know what kind of crazy chaos. Just realize life's chaotic. I don't know what's next. I better be right with God. I better be right with God. Next, we don't know how we will be provided for. We don't know how we're going to be provided for. Let's go to Mark chapter 6. We are way too secure in the things that pay our bills. And I have learned, man, if you think anything on earth is secure to pay your bills, oh man, you better realize there's nothing as secure as you think. Mark chapter 6. In verse 11, Mark chapter 6, go back to verse 7. And he called the 12 and sent them, and he called on him the 12, and he began to send them forth two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits and commanded them they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, nor money in their purse. Now imagine that. Imagine going out and starting to do ministry work and you have no money, no spare clothes, nothing, just what you're. Don't take any money. Don't take your wallet. Don't take any cash in your pocket. Just walk out and start doing it and trust God to take care of you. He began to train them for the ministry by saying, don't take anything with you. Just trust. Trust God. He says, be shod with sandals and don't put on two coats. Don't take extra things with you. And he said to them, in what place you enter in the house, there abide and until you depart from that place, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, wipe the dust off your feet. And they went out and preached that they should repent, and then God provided for them. And they did it by faith. And I've read great books on this. Brother Andrew is a great one. God's Smuggler and other ones, where people just live by faith and just let God provide their needs. I want to say that was great training for them. And I know if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. But I want to say, you can't guarantee your you can't guarantee, one, your company's going to be there. Two, you can't guarantee that his checks are going to clear. Man, I knew a guy, he told me, I had a $2 million business. He was an electrician. He said, I think he said he had eight vans, electrical vans. He had this huge business, and it was thriving and going great. He didn't know that his accountant was putting all of his extra money and hiding it in an offshore account. And one day he called his accountant didn't answer. And they went to go fill up the tank on their vans, and the credit card didn't work, and no bills had been paid, and no money was anywhere. And he was flat, completely broke. And he couldn't even pay his employees for the last 2 weeks. He had nothing. They never found the guy. Guy disappeared. They found the offshore account record and the empty account that he'd gone there and drained. And he was flat, completely broke. That stuff happens. Right now, we're sitting in this thing where our dollar, what it's going to do, we could have one or two things, and really nobody knows what it's going to do. Both of them are bad. We might have inflation. You might have deflation. And we don't know what's going to happen. But you could have your money worth a lot less than you think. And you say, that sounds crazy. You can look all over in the last 100 years and see how many times it's happened. It's happened a gazillion times to countries. It's happening right now in 4 countries. Their currency is melting down. 4 countries right now. It's not uncommon. Listen. Now, thank God, our nation's been stable. We have, our businesses are pretty stable. Our cities are pretty stable. We don't have much civil unrest. Everything's pretty good. I just want to say thank God for that. Enjoy that. Live in that and work in that and have a good time. And don't sit there and say, what if I get my paychecks in clear? You don't have to live that way. I'm just saying don't let that be your security. You need something higher to provide for you. And the Bible says that thing is Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I thank God that I am an employee of Open Door Baptist Church. I work for this church, and God uses Open Door Baptist Church to provide my needs. But if Open Door Baptist Church disappears, I've still got God. If I preach 2 hours, for example, on this Sunday night, and everybody got mad at me, if I ever did that, and everybody left the church, and I'm back to me and my family, and there's no income. You know what? I don't have to worry about pleasing people because people aren't the ones who provide my needs. I don't have to treat a rich person any different in Open Door than a poor person. It's not the church or them or anybody else who provides my needs. It's God. You don't have to have your boss make you dishonest and do everything else. You can stay moral and decent. Why? Because it's not your job to provide your needs. God might just use that particular company, but he can do it without that company. He made it rain manna from heaven. So have something higher. You don't know how you will be provided for. I think that a good Christian will be provided for by God, and they don't necessarily know how. But you might say right now, it's this job. You know, you don't know that if you're getting checks from the government. I tell you, the government is unsecure right now as any business. Just trust God. So, just a few thoughts on that, and we'll finish up. We don't know how much time we have. We often don't know where we're going to be. We don't know how we'll be provided for. Ultimately, we don't always know that. So, three things. First, make yourself comfortable with your final destination, because you don't know where you're going to be on this earth necessarily. I hope you're here for a long time, and we all might be, but make your final destination what you're comfortable with. Hebrews 13 and verse 14. For here, it's a good verse, Hebrews 13, 14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. That's what it says. We have no continuing city here, but we seek one to come. That's heaven. I do know I'm going to be there a long time. We have no continuing city here. Things, we don't know what's going to happen. But we seek one to come. So make your final destination, make sure you're comfortable with that. Number two, do right while you have the chance. We read in that passage where it says, don't presume that you're going to have time and say that the Lord will go in here and there. But it says, your life is a vapor. You don't know when it's going to disappear. So it says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Woke you up, huh? And to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Why? Because if you have the opportunity to do the right thing, you don't know you're going to have another opportunity. You say, I'll witness him tomorrow. You don't have that promise. I'll start tithing next week. You don't have that promise. I'll begin a prayer life soon. You don't have that. If you know to do good and don't do it, it's sin. If you say, I'm going to do it, that is sin, because you do not know you have that time. Jesus may come back before then. You might die. The opportunity might not be there anymore. And you've got to do right while you have the chance. And last of all, make the Lord your security. See, there's one thing that's great. We can be content with such things as we have, Hebrews 13. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Make the Lord your security. Now, we might have pretty secure jobs. We might have pretty secure lives. We might have pretty secure houses. Your house may be paid off. All those things might be great. And thank God for it. And that's good. And by the way, did you know, just so you know this, if you own a house and you think that you have insurance, make sure you read what they cover. You'd be surprised how smart those insurance companies are and how many little things they'll write in there. And you'll say, well, a meteor hit my house. They said, it says right there, line 467, if a meteor or anything from space falls in your house, we will not cover it. You better mine that meteor and start hoping there's gold in it and sell it. But you know, we might think we're all secure and everything else. And I think it's good to be wise and be careful. Fine. But I want to say, You say, I got so much money in the bank, unless the bank collapses. Happened all the time. Oh, man, I was watching some of the Great Depression. It was so sad. There is a guy who lived and saved penny after penny. He was a custodian, and he saved his money. He was saving his money to and later on in life live in ease, and he worked and saved and worked and saved, and he had $1,000 in the bank in 1929. The bank collapsed. He waited in front of the door for 3 days, then killed himself. Listen. Don't build your security on sinking sand. Thank God for what's secure. Thank God for what's there. And I'm not against saving. I'm not against that. I'm just saying, you better be right with God and living today and worrying about today. And because you don't know if every plan you had might just fall apart tonight. So just the thought is, what we don't know, we don't know what's coming. We don't know what's next. And so thank God we have the Lord, and He does, so we can just rest in Him and be secure. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank You for the chance to teach just some simple things that You teach here in the Bible. And boy, what is our life? And we just so broadly assume the future, Father. Lord, I pray we'd be people who just have our security in You, live today as our priority, and trust You ultimately. Please help us. We don't know what's next, Lord. Help us not to presume anything's next except for that someday we're going to face You. And thank You for the truth of Your word that tells us these things. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.